Hi, and welcome back to the PubK Compliance News Podcast. This is Bill Olfer for PubK. Every morning, we capture the latest news and opinion on government False Claims Act cases, Foreign Corrupt Practices Act enforcement, and related legal issues. And every 2 weeks on this podcast, we recap our top headlines from the daily news. The National Credit Union Administration has implemented a process for the suspension and debarment of contractors that are not properly responsible. The agency adopted the procedures following a request by the General Counsel and Chief Financial Officer. The Department of Labor is planning to audit contractors who don't certify their affirmative action compliance to the government. The Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs will identify such contractors to the General Services Administration. Federal contractors must comply with a number of affirmative action requirements that are separate from their workplace non-discrimination obligations. Contractors must disclose to GSA whether they have an affirmative action plan in place or if they are not required to do so under penalty of perjury and the False Claims Act. Craig Lean, acting OFCCP director, recently shared a document called What Contractors Can Expect, which says that contractors seeking OFCCP's assistance with satisfying their non-discrimination and equal employment opportunity obligations can expect clear, accurate, and professional interactions with OFCCP staff. Under the effort, contractors will see a response time of 3 to 4 business days on inquiries and get feedback on ongoing investigations. In a recent decision in Hot Chalk Inc. v. Scottsdale Insurance Company, the Ninth Circuit found that the defendant's liability insurance coverage was precluded for an FCA suit because the insured's professional service had a direct relationship to the alleged misconduct. After former employees filed a key TAM suit alleging the firm paid recruiters improper bonuses and commissions, which resulted in false claims for financial aid to the Department of Education, Hot Chalk tendered its claims to its insurer, which denied the claim under the policy's professional services exclusion. Hot Chalk sued, but the District Court and the Ninth Circuit both upheld the denial, holding that the professional liability exclusion precluded coverage for any claim arising from the rendering or failure to render professional services. Because the services provided by Hot Chalk directly contributed to the alleged misconduct, the courts held the exclusion applied. The Interagency Suspension and Debarment Committee recently issued its report for fiscal year 2017. The committee noted that S&D activity had declined, while contractors were more likely to proactively contact S&D officials. However, despite the decline, the number of exclusions is still almost double those reported when the committee first began formally tracking the data in 2009. A new report from Bloomberg found that at least 9 major contractors working primarily for defense-related agencies have benefited from waivers under a 1981 law that allows federal officials to override the firm's suspensions for such misconduct as fraud, bribery, and theft. Large firms such as IBM, BP, and Boeing have all benefited from the waivers. The Washington Post reports that the United States is currently on track to have the fewest prosecutions of white-collar and public corruption crimes since 1986, when record-keeping began. 2017 and likely 2018 will have fewer than 6,000 federal prosecutions of white-collar crime, down from several years in the mid-1990s, during which more than 10,000 such cases were prosecuted annually. Prosecutions referred by the IRS are down from more than 2,500 in the early 1990s to a projected figure below 1,000 this year. 8 months after Walmart Inc. announced it had set aside $300 million for a possible settlement with U.S. prosecutors to resolve international bribery allegations, the two sides have yet to reach an agreement. According to sources, Walmart is balking at the government's insistence that it admit to wrongdoing. For the past 6 years, U.S. authorities have been investigating allegations the firm paid bribes in Mexico, India, China, and other countries in order to fast-track store openings. Walmart's settlement deal with the SEC has been similarly delayed, but the cause is not clear. Former contractor employee Baskar Patel has pleaded guilty to charges that he unlawfully solicited and accepted over $2.5 million in bribes and kickbacks associated with federal energy savings performance contracts issued by various federal agencies. According to the charges, while employed by Schneider Electric Building Americas, Patel accepted illegal kickbacks and bribes from contractors to falsify bids and direct contracts to them. International Marine Industrial Applicators and its rental subsidiary, Marine Equipment Supply, will pay the government more than $2.8 million to settle allegations they improperly billed the Navy for rental equipment. According to the settlement, IMIA billed the government for equipment rented from MES, contrary to rules that apply in most circumstances against billing for rentals between companies under common control. IMIA did not disclose its relationship with MES to the Navy, and the Navy contends they did so knowingly in violation of the False Claims Act. Former Lockheed Martin employee Richard Olson will pay $124,000 to resolve allegations he violated the False Claims Act by submitting inflated prices in connection with a subcontract between Mission Support Alliance, a prime contractor at the Department of Energy Hanford nuclear site, and Lockheed Martin Services, Inc. Olson was a Lockheed employee working for MSA, which is partly owned by Lockheed through one of its subsidiaries. Under the term of MSA's contract with the Department of Energy, Lockheed, as an affiliate of MSA, was not entitled to receive profit on the work it performed for MSA. According to the allegations, while working for MSA, Olson falsely represented that Lockheed subcontracted did not include any profit. Olson allegedly received a payment of more than $40,000 from Lockheed for obtaining DOE's consent to the inflated subcontract pricing. A draft anti-corruption law currently being discussed by the Polish government could have serious consequences for all businesses operating in the country. The law would require most public and partially state-owned entities to record contracts worth more than about $600 in a public register and require them to publish details about business-related credit card expenses. It would also require almost all government employees and many public sector-related employees to file public asset declaration forms. Brazil's state oil company Petrobras and Vantage Drilling International, one of its big U.S.-based drilling contractors, are locked in litigation following allegations that Vantage won a contract by paying bribes through a middleman. Vantage was awarded $622 million for breach of contract in an arbitration against Petrobras. The tribunal also dismissed Petrobras' counterclaims with prejudice. However, the firm is appealing the decision, saying it terminated the contract due to material operational failures by Vantage and that the drilling contract was procured by corruption. Vantage's former CIO, Paul Bragg, has been indicted in Brazil on charges of corruption and money laundering. According to prosecutors, Bragg was involved in the payment of $31 million in bribes to a former executive of Petrobras. Prosecutors allege the bribe was intended to help Vantage obtain a $1.8 billion contract to charter a drill ship to the company. Jose Testino was arrested on bribery charges in relation to corrupt payments to an official of Venezuela's state energy company, Petróleos de Venezuela S.A. According to the criminal complaint, Gonzalez and a co-conspirator paid at least $629,000 in bribes to a former Petróleos official in exchange for his directing contracts to Gonzalez's companies, giving them priority over other vendors to receive payments and awarding them contracts in U.S. dollars instead of unstable Venezuelan currency. Another individual, Luis Carlos de León Pérez, has pleaded guilty for his role in the scheme. De Leon admitted that between 2011 and 2013, he conspired with Petróleos officials and former officials of other Venezuelan government agencies to solicit vendors for bribes and kickbacks in exchange for providing assistance to those vendors in connection with their PDVSA business. Petróleos has lifted restrictions on doing business with certain units of construction giant Odebrecht S.A. In a recent securities filing, Petrobras officials noted they approved the agreement based on Odebrecht's implementation of measures to prevent, detect, and remediate acts of corruption and fraud. The firm is maintaining restrictions on 14 other companies involved in the massive bribery scandal that ensnared Odebrecht. Speaking of Odebrecht, it has signed a deal with Brazilian authorities that will grant the firm some leniency in exchange for its ongoing cooperation in the investigation into the massive corruption scandal. The firm is alleged to have paid billions of dollars in bribes to win contracts with state-owned oil company Petrobras and other state firms in the last two decades. Odebrecht will pay a fine of $971 million, which will be deducted from a previously announced $2.39 billion settlement the firm agreed to pay to U.S., Brazilian, and Swiss authorities. The new deal adds new protections to the firm's earlier leniency agreement. And finally, Odebrecht is suing Colombia over profits it lost after the multinational was caught bribing public officials. Odebrecht claims the Colombian government illegally expropriated concessions that allegedly were granted due to bribery. In the lawsuit, Odebrecht also claims that the government's decision to nullify contracts arising from the corrupt activity violated an international trade agreement between Colombia and the European Union that included investor protection clauses. And that's the news for this week. For further reading on today's topics, you can find links to our blog posts and original sources on the PubK Compliance page where you listen to this podcast. I hope you'll join me again in 2 weeks for the next edition of the Compliance News Podcast.